Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and of course today we're going to be talking about Tesla stock. Pretty rough day in the markets overall. We've also got an updated 13D filing from Elon Musk in regard to the acquisition of Twitter. Tesla has also filed their 10Q quarterly filing for the first quarter. We've got a rumor around the stock split, news on India and Indonesia, and a couple other items as well. All right, so looking at the stock, awful day in the markets today. Tesla down 12.2% to close at $876.42. And the NASDAQ finishing down 4%. This is the worst day for the NASDAQ since September of 2020, so about a year and a half. I was curious, and I went back and looked at how this performance for the NASDAQ today stacked up all time. This is in the 99.26th percentile for worst days for the NASDAQ ever. The NASDAQ's closing price today, down to the penny, also a 52-week low. So Tesla not really getting any help here from the macro environment. People, of course, looking for a reason for this performance, and I'm seeing a lot of attribution to rising COVID cases in China, concerns around possible further lockdowns and factory closures, things like that. And then just, of course, a risk-off environment as we head into a big week for earnings, as we had talked about yesterday. So Google reported after hours, they ended up missing. Microsoft thankfully beat. And then GM also reported after hours, they beat on earnings per share but missed on revenue. So choppy market, definitely not helping Tesla out, but at the same time of the NASDAQ 100, Tesla was the worst performer today. It was also the highest volume day for Tesla in a couple of months, about 45 million shares traded, so probably some other things going on with Tesla specifically, aside from just the macro environment. Now, what exactly is going on? That's anybody's best guess, but the obvious first question would be, okay, is some of this a result of Elon Musk possibly selling some shares to assist in the acquisition of Twitter? We don't know. We probably won't know for at least a couple of days. Remember, we get that information from Form 4s. If Elon is selling, there will be Form 4s, and those have to be published within 2 days of the sale. So we should know by end of day on Thursday, at the latest, whether or not Elon did any selling today. I'm still of the opinion, as I've mentioned a couple of times, that Elon is not planning on selling Tesla for this acquisition, but certainly the price action and volume today definitely makes it look more likely. It feels a lot like those first couple of days of selling from Q4. Whether he's selling or not selling, that uncertainty is going to be present until we know for sure, and that is going to weigh on the stock, because if he does end up selling, this could be an even bigger number of shares being sold than what happened in Q4, and there would be plenty of people that aren't particularly excited to go through another period of time like that. To be fair, that uncertainty does work in both directions, because right now there is a possibility that Elon is not selling. If we get a Form 4 that confirms that he is, and maybe that only shows that he's only sold 5 or 10% of what might be needed, well, then that starts to potentially look even worse for the short term. So there's a lot of possibilities here. And as I said, this is a risk-off environment, so people not really excited to sit through and wait for that to be figured out. Eventually, though, even if it does take a long time, fundamentals are what will end up mattering. Tesla right now is trading at 119 times trailing 12 months earnings, but only 76 times Q1 annualized. And of course, Tesla likely to continue growing earnings throughout this year. So the forward price to earnings ratio probably quite a bit lower. All right, so let's talk about this updated 13D filing from Elon Musk today in regard to the possible Twitter acquisition. With this filing, we get more information on the structuring of Elon's financing, particularly on the margin loan facility, which of course is backed by his equity in Tesla. The exact number of shares that Elon is putting up as collateral is not yet defined in this document, but we do get some important information on the terms of the loan, and one of those is the LTV ratio, or the loan to value ratio. So that's just the loan amount divided by the value of the collateral. And in this case, the loan amount for this margin facility is $12.5 billion. And they state that a margin call happens below a 35% LTV level. So $12.5 billion divided by 0.35, that's $36 billion. If the value of the collateral, Tesla stock, falls below that $36 billion level, that's when Elon would be facing a margin call, assuming that there has not been any early prepayment of that loan amount. Now, that's not the only thing to consider, because in Tesla's bylaws, it says that they cannot borrow against more than 25% of the value of their Tesla shares. So unless that has been or gets amended, then that would limit Elon to borrowing off of $50 billion worth of Tesla stock. So that puts a couple of numbers out there that could eventually end up causing some problems with this margin loan. Now, of course, Elon's got like 180 million Tesla shares, so the share price would have to be below $300 per share to come into that $50 billion threshold. And then because we don't know how much he is staking for collateral on this margin loan, for that 35% number, the share price would have to get down to pretty close to $200 per share. But that also assumes that all shares are staked as collateral, which to me doesn't seem super likely. And again, we don't know that number yet. And both of those numbers, of course, assume that Elon hasn't and isn't selling any more shares. So the risk of that should be quite low. I mean, at $300 per share, Tesla would be trading at 26 times Q1 earnings annualized. It's not impossible, but Tesla's business trajectory would have to change very, very significantly from where it's at today. So I think the risk of a margin call is pretty minimal, but there is a potential caveat to that, because there is a mandatory prepayment event clause in here. And one of those says a share price event in which the volume-weighted average price of the shares on the exchange on any day is below 40% of its official closing price on the funding date. Now, I'm definitely not an expert on how to interpret these loan facility documents, so if anyone has more information on what exactly this means, but if it is as simple as it sounds, and that means that 40% drop in the share price triggers a prepayment event, then that could cause some concern. Even if Elon's not selling right now, 40% drops in Tesla do happen, and then perhaps that would cause Elon to have to sell to pay down margin, and if that is the correct interpretation, that risk could exist for quite some time. Again, I want to be clear that I'm not positive that that is being interpreted correctly. If it is, we don't know exactly what share price would trigger that because the funding date hasn't yet happened, so we don't know the starting price that it would have to drop 40% from. So anyway, in addition to the things that we had discussed previously, some of the stuff from this 13D filing may have influenced Tesla's price a little bit today as well. All right, moving on from that, we do have a little bit of a rumor here around the stock split, which we know that Tesla is planning to do once and if they get shareholder approval to increase the available shares. So JP Morgan has mailed out a letter to some Tesla investors, and this has been verified by a couple of different people receiving this letter. But it was first shared out on Tesla Motors Club, and this is a notice of corporate action for a stock split. And interestingly, they list the stock split in here as being a 20-for-1 stock split. It is listed as preliminary information, and of course, we don't have any announcement from Tesla on this, nor could they make an announcement on this because they don't have the available shares to do a 20-for-1 split right now. They could really only do about a 1.5-for-1 split with the shares that they have until they do get investor approval for that increased share count. So I don't have any doubt on the authenticity of this letter. What I have doubt on is the information that is being relayed in this letter from JP Morgan. This is absolutely not information that is confirmed, because it can't be. We just walked through that. But that doesn't make it completely uninteresting. Perhaps JP Morgan just messed up, and this is what has been discussed as a possibility if Tesla does get the share increase approval. And I think at this point, that's really all that we can say about it. No real way to get any more insight than that. When we first heard about Tesla's intent to split the stock, I walked through the reasons that I expected a 20-for-1 split. So this would fit with my expectations and netted out. I think it increases the odds that that is the decision that will eventually be made, but we're just going to have to wait and see. And at this point, there's even a possibility that Tesla themselves haven't finalized what ratio they want to split to yet, because they can always ask for more shares than what they're going to need for the split, and end up splitting that into two splits later on. All right, next up here, Tesla has published their 10Q quarterly filing with the SEC. This just gives a little bit more information than the earnings report gives. Always pretty interesting to read through, and I spent some time doing that today. Not anything all that noteworthy, I didn't think, but a couple of points I wanted to highlight. First up on deferred revenue. This is an item that we have talked about a lot in the past. Tesla says that for the current deferred revenue sitting on their balance sheet, they expect to recognize $948 million of that revenue in the next 12 months. That's pretty similar to what they had expected back in January when they filed the 10K, that's the annual filing. At that point, they had expected $962 million to be recognized over the next 12 months. This used to be a really significant amount to Tesla's other earnings, and I talked about eventually this being recognized and that affecting the price-to-earnings ratio so significantly, and it still would, but at this point, that deferred revenue is a lot smaller compared to Tesla's net profitability, plus Tesla expects to recognize a smaller portion of that than they used to. But it is definitely still interesting to keep an eye on, and when Tesla does eventually recognize that revenue, that'll improve margins going forward, as they have to defer a lower percentage of revenue and profit. The next item I think we're all pretty well aware of, but that is CEO compensation. So of course they recognized $48 million this quarter. That gives them $17 million remaining, which they say they expect to recognize over the next 0.5 years on a weighted basis. So the entire plan should be fully recognized sometime in the next two quarters. The last item from the 10Q that I found noteworthy was on research and development. So they walked through the changes to last year, as they do with their expense lines, and what drove them. They say for R&D, the increase was primarily due to a $90 million increase in facilities, outside services, freight, and depreciation expense. So remember, they talked on the call about how some of the expenses from Berlin and Austin were hitting R&D. I think that's primarily what this bucket is talking about. And $90 million, that's pretty close to what the R&D line came in above my forecast, so I think that fits. And for Q2, we'll probably see a lower increase, at least, in the R&D line. All right, next up, we've got a quick story on Tesla and Indonesia. Yesterday, there was a meeting between Elon Musk and Indonesian government officials at Giga Texas, with a number of the members of this meeting sharing out posts on Instagram to talk about this meeting with Elon Musk, which was apparently to discuss the role of Indonesia in the battery supply chain, possibly for Tesla. As we have talked about before, Indonesia is the highest nickel-producing country, and they also have the highest amount of nickel reserves in the world. So obviously, this is not the first conversation between this group of people. However, perhaps an indicator that a big project may be on the horizon. All right, next up, we've got a quick update on Tesla and India. Of course, we've been talking for quite some time now about Tesla's prospects in India and efforts by Tesla to get India to reduce or remove some of their extremely high tariffs on imported electric vehicles. There's been a lot of back and forth on that, and the latest chapter of that today being reported by Reuters with the headline that India says Tesla should not import cars from China for domestic sale. Quote, U.S. electric car maker Tesla Inc. is welcome to set up shop in India, make cars there for sale and export them, but must not import cars from China, the transport minister said on Tuesday, end quote, with the transport minister saying that making in China and selling here is not a good proposition. So it was a headline that was out there today. Again, just more of this back and forth. Could be posturing, could be real intent, but I'm sure this will not be the last that we hear about it. All right, last couple of things here. First up, Variety is reporting that FX and the New York Times have paired up to announce a new Elon Musk documentary, but they're calling this an expose documentary. So, oh boy, here we go. It's titled Elon Musk's Crash Course, and Variety says that it will be, quote, an expose into Musk's company Tesla and its work on self-driving cars. Featuring the reporting from Cade Metz and Neil Baudet of the New York Times, the film will dive into how Tesla's autopilot program has resulted in several deaths that Musk and the company have yet to publicly acknowledge, and details Musk's efforts to kill government investigations into the incidents. Several former Tesla employees will be featured in the documentary, speaking out against Musk for the first time, end quote. So yeah, I'm sure this will be the most fairly presented piece of journalism that we'll see this year. I mean, we didn't really have to get any further than saying that Neil Baudet was going to be involved in this. If you're at all familiar with his work, that should pretty much tell you all you need to know. Last item then is from Ford. They have announced today that they have started what they call full production of the F-150 Lightning, as anticipated. I actually thought that that was going to be deliveries because I haven't been following that super closely, but looks like full production. They had kind of an event announcing this today, and during that event, CEO Jim Farley said that, quote, we plan to challenge Tesla and all comers to become the top EV maker in the world, end quote. However, just like with GM, their actual targets don't align with that. Ford said today that, quote, Ford is on track to deliver more than 2 million electric vehicles annually by 2026, equal to about one-third of the company's global volume, on the way to 50% by 2030, end quote. Well, sorry, Ford, if you're wanting to compete with Tesla to become the top EV maker, you're going to need a lot more volume than that. Tesla's probably going to be above that level next year. All right, so that is it for today then. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Wednesday, April 27th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.